Open your Bibles to John chapter 1, please. As we consider the meaning behind our second Advent theme, second candle, theme of truth, we'll read a few sentences from the Apostle John. I'd ask you to stand as we read from the Word of God. We consider Christmas celebrating the gift of truth. John chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord, may He bless your hearts with it. Please be seated. When my father was getting older, in his 60s, I want to call that older, but he and I were eating breakfast one morning at a local restaurant in Frostburg, just the two of us, and I was seeking some answers to life. And I asked him, I said, Dad, have you ever met a person that you could always trust? He paused and then said, Son, he said, sometimes a man can't even trust his own self. Sometimes we let ourselves down. And truth is that sooner or later, everyone, given enough time and enough space, everyone is going to disappoint you. That's just the way it is. Notice what St. John said, the 14th verse. When Jesus came, He came full of truth. He came as someone that we can always count upon. True in every sense of the word. True in what He said. True in what He did. True to His convictions. True to God. And will be proving Himself true to you as you look to Him in this season. From beginning to end, Jesus is linked with what is true and dependable. Jesus is linked with truth. John, again, identifies Him as one who comes full of grace and literally full of truth in the 14th verse. He comes full of truth. In fact, Jesus calls Himself in the Scriptures a man of truth. The God who sent Jesus in the Scriptures is called the God of truth. The book that Jesus taught from is called in the Scriptures the book of truth. The gospel that Jesus taught is called the Word of Truth. The Spirit that Christ sends to us who believe is called the Spirit of Truth. And the church which Jesus established is called the pillar and the foundation of truth. In John 17, Jesus calls Himself a man of truth. He says, and I quote, He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Jesus calls himself a person of truth. And the God who sent Jesus is called the God of truth. Isaiah 65:16. Look, what it says. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by whose name? By the God of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by whom? By the God of truth. Isaiah 65:16. And the book of truth, mentioned in Daniel 10:20, the heavenly messenger says to Daniel, he says, I tell you what is written in the book of truth. And the gospel that Jesus taught, what was that all about? According to St. Paul in Colossians chapter 1, look at what he says to the Colossian believers. And he would say to you, if you were here this morning, listening to him speaking, Colossians 1:5, he says, you have already heard the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And the Spirit that Christ sent when he died and rose again and ascended to heaven, he sent the Spirit, his own Spirit at Pentecost, which rules and reigns in the world now and in your hearts if you believe. What did Jesus say to his apostles in John 16? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The church that Jesus established is called the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, listen. Paul says to Timothy, he says, if I'm delayed, and I quote, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of truth, the foundation of truth. You see, from beginning to end, from A to Z, Jesus is linked with truth. In all that he is, he is indeed a man of truth, identified with what is true in every way, from every angle. Where churches today and where people today go wrong, where we go askew, is that we try to build our lives on something other than truth. Philip H. Towner at Covenant Seminary said, Christ Church exists, quote, to protect and promote the truth. And churches go wrong and lives go wrong when we begin to try to build something substantial for ourselves that is not grounded in truth. When a church stops preaching from the book Jesus taught from, the book of truth, we're in trouble. When people stop relying on the Spirit that lives in the church, lives in individual believers, we're in trouble when we stop relying on the Spirit of truth to guide us. When we stop believing in the God who sent Jesus, the God of truth, we're in trouble. When churches end up preaching something from the pulpits other than the gospel, which is the word of truth, you get simply the word of man or the word of somebody's opinion. But the Bible says, the gospel that Christ has given us is the word of truth, and that's what we must preach from week to week and daily to ourselves, because really we're going to crumble if we neglect it. We begin to build on something other than what is solid ground. Friends, Jesus Christ came to earth full of truth, and we need to be seeking Him and searching for what the bottom line is when it comes to what is true, what God expects, how we're to respond to it, and whatever it may be that God is trying to tell us. The Bible exhorts you to seek truth. Proverbs 23:23. Listen to this. It says, in this season where everybody's buying things, buy the truth and don't sell it. This week you probably bought milk, you bought maybe some bread, maybe a gift or two. But did you buy any truth? Jeremiah 5:1 says, go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. It's a great mark. We have a church and individuals, if you're trying to seek out what is right, what is true, what God expects, how He wants you to respond to it. John 4:13. What kind of worshipers does God want here this morning? You know what He says. A time is coming, says Jesus, and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. In 2 Timothy 4, what does the Apostle Paul say is going to be the problem in certain gatherings of people? He says, a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths, to fabrications. Why did Christ come into the world? There's a lot of answers we could give, and the Bible gives a whole lot of answers to why He came into this world, and we are thinking about why He came. And this morning, I want you to consider the words from Christ Himself in John 18:37. Perhaps you haven't thought about it this way. But Christ says He came to lay before us the truth. In John 18:37, literally, Jesus said, He says, I came into the world. I came into the world, why? To testify to the truth. To testify to the truth. We see a lot or hear a lot about these bracelets that people wear. You know, Payne Stewart wore one before he passed away, the famous golfer. A lot of you probably had them. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Perhaps we could put a new arm bracelet on there. With WWJS, what would Jesus say? You know, what would He say? Not just try to predict what He would do, although they're not mutually exclusive. What did Jesus say? In any area, you know, we're looking for answers. People are asking questions. They want to get to the bottom line. And it's good to go talk to someone who has some expertise. You have a problem, you want to get some insight from someone. And before we do anything particularly major, the Bible exhorts us to get some counsel, get some advice on major decisions. What would Jesus say about this? And Christ said, I've come to testify to the truth. John 18:36. Christ told Pilate, He said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, My servants would fight to prevent My arrest by the Jews. But now My kingdom is from another place. You're a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And then these words, Everyone on the side of truth listens to Me. Wow. Powerful stuff. Everyone on the side of truth listens to Me. If you want to be on the side of the truth, we've got to step over the line from wherever we are that is different from Christ's opinion on any subject. Christ came into the world to give us true answers. And He wants us to embrace those answers. On Wednesday night, I asked our small group, what are the major questions about life that are on our mind where we'd like to have accurate, true answers? And so, kind of polled the group, took some notes, and recorded some questions. What are the major questions about life that we would like to have true, accurate answers? Here's what some of the responses were in the group. One of them was mine, by the way. Is there a God? Is there really life after death? What's my main purpose in life? Why do people suffer, some more than others? Why can some people cheat and steal in life and still get ahead? Is there a heaven and hell? Why do some people reject Christ and others receive and follow Him? Why do some people hate other people who are different? And the world will give you all kind of answers and input on these questions. It's giving them right now. Just turn on to practically any talk show or any, you know, turn the radio on and go up and down the dial or the TV, the cable TV or whatever, and just see what they tell you about, is there life after death, you know? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there... See what they say about these subjects. Your purpose, so forth. Well, Jesus didn't teach on every subject, but He taught on many subjects. He taught on many, and He particularly taught on the ones that we need to have input on. The bottom line things in life. And what is your main purpose? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And by the way, love your neighbor as yourself. You want to know the bottom line on your main purpose? That's it, folks. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It may not tell you who you're going to marry. It may not tell you what job you're going to have and so forth and so on. But wherever you are, at whatever time of day it is, your main purpose is to be about loving God and loving people with all that's in you, whatever you can muster at the moment. Is there really a God? What did Jesus say? Jesus taught John 12:44, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. You think Jesus believed in God? That there was a true God? He said He was sent by God the Father. And the things He was telling us was from God the Father. Is there really life after death? What does Jesus say the truth is about that? John 11:25. Jesus said, He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus' opinion on life after death. I am the resurrection and the life. Is there a heaven and hell? What does Jesus say the truth is about that? Matthew 10:20. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, like the sniper or the terrorist. Don't be afraid of him who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Then he says, but don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. He's talking to those followers who are trusting in him. You're worth more than many sparrows. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Jesus believed in a heaven and a hell. I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. We don't acknowledge him. Well, Jesus believed in hell. But he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save it. Now's the time to believe. Why do some people reject Christ and others choose to follow him? What did Jesus say the truth is about that? That is a puzzling thing, isn't it? That Billy Graham or someone can stand up there over a whole crowd and some will just like stay in their chairs. They'll just sit there. They won't budge an inch. And others will... They'll come forward and say, here I am, just as I am, without one plea, you know. Just, here I am, take me, Lord. I'm all yours. Why does that happen? Jesus said in John 6:44, here's the true answer. No one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. You can't get to God by just grunting and trying to do it on your own. You say, here, finally figured it out, Lord. Boy, I'm glad I did this. I'm glad I just was able to get up there and get the energy or the willpower, whatever it is you did, you brought Him. Folks, if you're there, you're nowhere. It's only God the Father who's able to touch you. And if you've come to Christ, recognize that you love Him because He first loved you. And He moved in your heart to give Him your life. So thank Him that He has chosen to place His grace upon you, as He does on any who will call upon Him. Why do some people hate other people who are different? What does Jesus say the truth is about that? Jesus says in Matthew 17, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Jesus' perspective on this, why do some people hate others who are a different color or a different genre of sorts? It's because they have a corrupt heart. You need a new heart. You either need cleansed from the root or you need sanctified in that area. We need the truth to get down into us. Why can some people cheat and steal and still get ahead? That does bother you, doesn't it? You see you're working, you're trying to do things the right way, and somebody over there is like cutting corners and he's going up the ladder of success, and you're really like, man. But Jesus says, what's the truth on this? What good is it if a man gains the whole world but forfeits his own soul? Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me in the gospel will save it. Jesus said, if we're going through life, you may be successful because you've cut corners. But it may be you'll forfeit your life. You've got to leave it all behind anyway. On all of these important life questions, Jesus gave testimony to what is true. He came to testify to the truth. I just pulled out seven areas of this group, small group of questions they raised on and how He spoke truth in these specific areas. He came to testify to the truth. And the man who, or the person who steps over the line and sides with Jesus is siding with the truth. Those who don't step over the line, well, what is the alternative from the truth? It's either a lie or deception, illusion. You know, I must admit, lately I've been a bit discouraged seasonally. I don't know why, because I'm standing up here and I'm preaching. I'm telling you about celebrating Christmas last week and getting in the Spirit and just... But the truth is, emotionally, I'm like, I hit these valleys every now and then. You know, I hear that Spurgeon and others went through great periods of depression. Sometimes you can never get to the bottom of it, what's going on. And I'm not too analytical, don't always try to figure it out. But I figure if I'm that way, some of you are like that. That's just projection, if you want to call it. You know, we have our doubts. We become weary Christians, sometimes disenchanted. Occasionally I say, look, Dan, what are you doing? Is this just... you up there trying to inspire these people to try to get them worked up so they'll... Sometimes I think that's all it is. And I thought, man, you're not thinking right. But we do get disillusioned, I think, with Christianity, right or wrong interpretation of why, you know what I mean? We get distraught, we get skeptical and cynical. I know I do. I get cynical of the whole thing sometimes. Am I wasting my time here doing this whole thing, particularly as we move into a wonderful season like this? I mean, it's a beautiful season, not just in visually, but the content and the story behind it. It's mind-boggling when you begin to think, you know, a star movie, you know, just how can that be? You know, a woman who's never had sexual relations giving birth to a baby. Some things that are like, you stop and ponder, and your skepticism begins to lift. You know, the spirit of John the Baptist, though, does fall upon us from time to time. When he was in prison, just before he got his head chopped off, John was wondering, questioning, doubting. You know, he'd been doing ministry for Jesus, pointing people to Christ, showing the way, and which was what his ministry was to be doing, and what we're all to be doing, really, pointing by life and word toward Christ. But sometimes we get discouraged, and we send questions out like John did. John the Baptist, he sent the question from prison, said, "Are you the one who was to come? Or should we look for somebody else?" And what did Jesus say? I'm glad he said what he did. He just didn't send back some words. He said this. When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus' response, here it is, to John and to us: "Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is he who does not fall away on account of me." Can we really be sure that Jesus has been truly sent to us from God, that he is the Word of God? That's what John says, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Can we be sure this is the embodiment of what God wants us to hear, his Word spoken to us? Or is it just some enchanted story, some fabrication? And Jesus said, "I want you to look at the miracles. I want you to think about what I can do with a little bit of spit and some mud. When you know what I mean? Some dirt and mud. And when I rub it on somebody's eyes, what I can do to make a blind man see. I want you to think what I can do with a brown bag lunch from some little boy and how far I can stretch the lunch. I want you to think about these things in this season." Five loaves, two fish, plus Jesus will stretch a long way. And hopefully it'll stretch into your mind and into your heart to build some faith. Jesus' miracles verify his teaching us truths from God, that these are actually truths from God himself that have been spoken in time and space and preserved in history for our edification. And even now, the Spirit of Truth can give us encouragement as we consider that it's not just about tradition and some religion, but it's about a true God speaking the true Word through his true Son, verified in his miracles. And moreover, Jesus' life verifies that his teaching is truly from God, that the things he's telling us are not just made up, but they are things that are accurate and reliable. And his life, consider just for a moment. One verse we all know is John 13:34. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so must you love one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." And when I was a young Christian, I used to be a little puzzled by the verse, because I'd say, there's nothing new about this command, right? That's been in the Bible from way back, right? Love. It's back in Deuteronomy. Love God. Love people. But notice he says, "A new command I give you." The new part is this: love one another as I have loved you. You see, that's the new part. God becoming a human being. Jesus doesn't just teach us love, he shows us love with his action. You know, I was at the wrestling tournament just the other day, Parkville, yesterday, and somebody had a t-shirt on. It said, "Well done is better than well said." Well done is better than well said. And Jesus not just says the things he wants us to hear and believe, but he actually embodies them. He does them. Himself. When I was searching for answers to Christianity 30 years ago, I was literally looking. I had enough philosophy and sociology and psychology, which was theories I was studying in. But, you know, people were just saying all these things, you know. And finally, it dawned on me, he says, I don't want to hear any more things, you know. Show me a living person. Show me a living philosophy. Show me flesh and blood who actually lives his philosophy out in life from morning till sunset, 7 days a week. That's what I was looking for. That led me to a Christian who was teaching in a college. I realized after I got to know him, he still had a few problems too. But he was enough together between his worldview and his life that it was attractive. And I began to say, well, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is some answers. And the more I dug that summer, read the Bible from cover to cover, searched it out, led me where many of you have been led, to Jesus. The only person who's got the true answers, and his life also matches what he believes. He's true in word and true in deed. Which leads me back to my father, my earthly father. Before my father died, I said when he was in 60, was he was 60, I asked him, I said, Dad, is there anyone you've ever met in life that you could ever trust completely? He said, Son, he said, a man can't even trust his own self. But when he was well into his 70s, in a nursing home, just before he died, he told me that he found one man that he could count on. One man that he was willing to trust his life with. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. Full of grace, full of truth. Jesus said he'd come from God to bring us the truth, to testify to the truth. The question is, do you believe his word is true? And are you willing to follow wherever it leads you? Lord, we bow before you. Thank you that you came to set forth the truth so that we would believe and follow wherever it leads.